Well, welcome back. If you have been watching these episodes, we have been going through John Downham's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger, and we are in the 10th episode on removing causes of unjust anger. We looked at a few of them last time, removing causes of unjust anger, the causes of self-love, pride, covetousness, and fastidiousness. And today we're considering three other causes, causes of vain curiosity, tale-bearing, and a lack of meditation on our infirmities or our sins and weaknesses. So the first cause, and this was an internal cause that we looked at last week or so, was vain curiosity. And Downham says, to avoid anger, we must abandon this troublesome companion of needless curiosity. For many things will neither grieve nor hurt us if we never see nor hear them. People who ask what is said about them by others, or who listen at every door and under every wall, or who bring up ill words spoken against them in secret, will both upset themselves with anger and make their own faults more public. So Downham is reminding us that we don't have to know everything. We don't have to know what that person said about us. You know, curiosity killed the cat. Vain curiosity causes some unjust anger. And in this case, perhaps the more you know is a problem. The more you know of what someone says about you, the more likely you are to respond with some unjust anger. And so we remove this cause by working hard to suppress the desire to hear and to see everything. How do we do this? Well, we remind ourselves of who we are. And so ask yourself, are you God? Is it part of your being to see all and to know all, and therefore to act in accordance with some eternal decree, taking everything into account? Well, certainly not. But you don't have to know everything. You don't have to see everything. And sometimes that's for your benefit. That's for your protection, that someone doesn't say something. When you have that desire, or when you have that temptation to hear what that person is saying around the corner, because it might be something about you, well, redirect your mind. Redirect your efforts. Say a quick prayer. Lord, I don't have to know what they're saying, whether it's about me or not. Help me, Lord, to not give in to this temptation to then just interrupt that conversation and say, well, what are you guys talking about? Or, well, I heard my name, so you must be talking about me. Is there something I can help you with this idea of having itching ears to hear everything that might be said about you? Or just about anyone else. So this vain curiosity might stir up or go well, sadly, with the idea of gossip and wanting to hear the latest news about someone, about something. So one way, again, to kill this vain curiosity is humility. It's drawing close to the Lord. It's being humble and not being proud to think that you need to know everything. It's resisting the devil and he will flee from you. It's drawing near to God through prayer. It's redirecting your mind to something else. You, for some reason, weren't a part of that conversation, so So what are you going to do? Is that conversation the only thing you could do? No. Find something more constructive, more godly to do, and do it. Another cause was talebearing, and that's just an older word for gossip. So we avoid talebearing, we avoid a quickness to anger and judgment, and we listen to both sides of an issue. John Downham says, "For it is the human nature to be most desirous of hearing that which most displeases us." And then he quotes Seneca, "We are glad to believe what we are loath to hear. We are gluttons for punishment at times." Bad news is good news. He says, "Let us not be angry before we judge, or judge before we have heard both sides." If you're angry before judging, then you're being quick to judge. You're being quick to punish, and you might do so unjustly. A righteous anger takes into account a just cause, but if you are just, you hear one side of a story, you hear some morsel of gossip, and you're so quick to have a different view of the person that someone's talking about, whether it's right or wrong, well, that's going to affect you. You will become angry unnecessarily. For what kind of injustice is it to listen to an accusation but refuse to hear an explanation? To pass a sentence of condemnation before we have asked the accused person what he can say for himself? What could be more wrong than to believe these things in secret and to be angry openly? Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." We do away, or we suppress and we oppose talebearing, or being given to gossip and being given to listening to it, by, well, one, refusing to listen to gossip when we sense it's coming or we sense it's present, but two, to not be quick to judge. We ought to be quick to listen to both sides. We ought to be quick to shut up and just hear, and then slow to speak. So many times I have gotten myself into trouble because I've been angry unnecessarily because I heard one side of a story. I was so quick to side with, say, one of my children and not the other, that I judged out of anger what I thought was the offender. And when I heard more later on, realized, well, it took two to tango on that, in that conflict, or I had the story entirely wrong. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We need to hear both sides of an issue, and then we can judge rightly, and then we can consider whether anger ought to be applied justly. Later on, after we go through this series on unjust anger, I'm going to do a series on gossip. So we'll talk more about being gossips and listening to gossips. The final cause was lack of meditation of our common infirmities, of our own sins. And the way we remove that is by considering our own sins and weaknesses. Downham says, "We should think often of the contagious leprosy of original sin, which has so infected all the sons and daughters of Adam that only pollution and filthiness remain within us." Original sin didn't affect just Adam and Eve or, you know, their immediate posterity. No, it affected all of us. All have sinned. He says, "A person infected with the plague is not offended with someone who has the same infection. Suffering lepers don't look on the sores of their fellow lepers with scorn and anger, but with pity and compassion. If you have cancer, you get upset at someone else who has cancer. You say, oh, I can't believe they have cancer. Ridiculous. How dare she have cancer? No, you understand them and you have more compassion and pity and mercy for them. Your heart is more tender towards them because you were in a similar spot. You too have cancer. Well, we might not physically have cancer, but we all have the effects of original sin. So we should all be understanding. We shouldn't be so quick to anger when we see original sin and its head popping up. So, how do we combat this? We consider our own human frailty. When we do this, we will not be so distressed when it shows itself. We won't say, I can't believe she did that. Well, why can't you believe that? She's a sinner. Is no sin off the table? Are there some sins that only unbelievers commit? Haven't we seen in Scripture and our own experience that Christians, people who have been justified, who are being sanctified, that they commit sins similar to the sins of unbelievers? Absolutely. Now, we're not stuck in the pit. As I think it was Thomas Manton said, we're not just stuck in the quagmire of filth, but we do occasionally trip and fall into it now that we've been redeemed. And another way of approaching this, because we want to think often about our own unworthiness. We want to think often about our own weaknesses, our own sins. And so we say, can it be that I am that way also? I see that person yelling at their child, or I see that person proud in her accomplishments. And that's sin, and we should be grieved at sin. But are you free of those kinds of sinful expressions? If you examine your heart, you might see that you too express sin in similar ways, if not in exact ways. By doing this examination, we will slowly, but surely, by the work of the Spirit, grow in godliness and grow in self-control. We will slowly but surely remove or suppress and mortify these causes of unjust anger. Next time, we'll begin our final section of videos, subduing anger by laboring for patience. So I hope that you'll stick with us as we continue to go through this book, and we'll see you later. God bless.